know what time it is? It's time to ball about the South with C. Wood. Ball about the South, coming at you from a Southern perspective on the NFL, NBA, HBCU, and of course, some of the best talk and analysis on the SEC. Real sports talk, real Southern flavor. Follow me and the show at C. Wood on Sports on X and IG. And now, it's time to ball about the South. What's good? What's good? It is C. Wood back at you again with this latest episode of Ball About the South with C. Wood. And I definitely appreciate you coming in to join me here yet again. Please remember to like, subscribe, do all of those things. Leave a comment. Let me know what you think about the podcast and whatever platform you're listening, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google. Doesn't really matter which one it is, but I definitely wish that you would like and subscribe and do all those things. And please help me to grow Ball About the South as much as it possibly can. Anyway, man, we got a lot to get into, as we always do on the show. I do apologize for missing last week, but back here live and in effect this week as we look back at week 3 of the NFL. We look ahead, of course, to week 4. And as also we look back at college football as well. Week 4 in college football as we get ready for week 5. And it was a huge week 4 in the college football ranks this past weekend. Kind of used to be called kind of Separation Saturday, when some of the a lot of the conference matchups started to go down. The SEC had a lot of conference matchups last weekend. This weekend, we have nothing but conference matchups across the board. And we're really starting to get into the thick of this thing. Even though we're only a third of the way through the season, it is starting to get real. And we got a lot to talk about as far as that goes. And obviously, just like I said, in the NFL as well, a lot going on. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes, but I am coming at you on Wednesday afternoon, and I wanted to go into the big news that has happened that has really just come down just in the last hour or two. Huge trade in the NBA. Was really kind of battling the thought of whether I should kind of start getting into my NBA coverage this week, or maybe should I wait till next week as far as getting ready for the season. I kind of decided to get ready for that next week, in next week's episode, kind of looking ahead at everything or whatever. But yeah, I'm gonna have to go on and get into just a little bit of NBA right now, as a huge deal is going down with Damian Lillard. Dame is on the move finally. It's not to Miami. It's not to Miami. He is on the move to the Milwaukee Bucks. And so, and I think that makes this really a big deal from my perspective here. We talk about everything going on down here in the South. Miami has been the favorite pretty much from day one. At least I'd say since the end of the season, since we've been in the offseason, Miami has been reportedly the favorite, gone back and forth. I mean, there have been other teams mentioned. Milwaukee was mentioned very early on as well. Big, big loss for the Miami Heat today, as Dame Lillard, Dame is headed to Milwaukee. He is going to have Dame time with Giannis, the Greek Freak, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. That is a really, really formidable four players right there, a really formidable core there in Milwaukee. And in the Eastern Conference, man, really, it's been a two-team race, in my opinion, already. Obviously, Miami did their thing, but truth be told, let's be real about it. Milwaukee should have been the team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know what that was in the first round of the NBA playoffs last season. Miami, as good as they were, don't get me wrong, take nothing away from them. But Milwaukee, I would still say Milwaukee had a better team. And now you sit there and you add Dame Lillard to that mix. It really sends the Milwaukee to another level, or at least it could. We're going to talk about that really quick here. Now, you notice one name that I did not say there for the Milwaukee Bucks, and that one name would be Drew Holiday. And that is what I want to kind of focus on with this deal. Again, it's a three-team deal. You got the Phoenix Suns involved in this deal as well. They are sending DeAndre Ayton, and he's going to the Phoenix Suns. I'm sorry, to the Portland Trail Blazers. A couple other players thrown in the mix as well, coming from Phoenix. You sit there and you look at the players coming from Portland. You have Yusef Nurkic going to Portland. I'm going to get this straight sooner or later. You have Yusef Nurkic going back to Phoenix in exchange, I guess, basically for, you know, big man for big man in this trade. You got DeAndre Ayton going to Portland, which is obviously very interesting. And it really puts perspective on where DeAndre Ayton is thought about in this league right now, or at least the perception that he has. He's a big man, number one overall pick, at least a top two or three overall pick when he came out of Arizona. And it's like he's just kind of an afterthought in this deal. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he is ultimately the third best player in this deal when you sit there and you think about Dame and you think about Drew Holiday. But really puts in perspective of where DeAndre Ayton is thought about in the NBA circles right now, that it's just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, they threw in DeAndre Ayton. You do get Nurkic back, just really quick, on the Phoenix and Portland side of this thing. You do get Nurkic back, so there's your big, I guess, to, you know, throw in the mix with Durant and all those guys there in Phoenix. But I don't know, man. I'm not really liking this deal for the Suns either. We'll see how it goes. We'll evaluate it a little bit deeper, because again, this deal is just kind of gone down. But Drew Holiday, I think, is a huge get. Seeing a lot of talk about basically that he's not going to stay in Portland. His contract may be bought out by the Blazers. He may be traded by the Blazers. I'm sure there will be a lot of teams that will line up to grab a guy like Drew Holiday. I don't think there's any question about that. But my thing is with the Milwaukee Bucks, I think a lot of people are going to basically make the Bucks the favorites. And don't get me wrong, this is huge. And when you sit there and you add a talent like Dame Lillard, and you sit there and you team him up with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then if healthy, a Chris Middleton and a Brook Lopez, you have something really special. There's no question about it. But my thinking, you know, I have to go back to the defensive element of this basketball team, and that is the thing that this team lived by for so long. When they won that title, yeah, they could score, but they defended you, especially out on the perimeter. Drew Holiday could really defend a number of different positions. He was one of the best defenders in the NBA. When you teamed him up with Giannis, it was just a perfect fit. And then adding, obviously, a guy like Brook Lopez that can protect the rim. I mean, just fantastic defensive basketball team. Dame takes away from that. As much as he's going to add to, the threat of them scoring, you're gonna take points away. He's gonna add point scoring. There's no question about that, you would think. But it's going to be a bit more of a struggle defensively for the Milwaukee Bucks. And another player I'm not really big on Grayson Allen. I did not mention that. Grayson Allen is on his way to Phoenix as well in this big three-team blockbuster deal that just went down in the NBA. So, I mean, look, man, obviously the Bucks are going to be looked at as the favorites when we come out of this thing. I still would kind of, you know, I would still have them maybe as a favorite, but I think Boston is right there. I don't think this is going to be just a clear cut, oh, okay, Milwaukee's better. It should be. It should be. And I think if they can find another guy to team up with Dame in the backcourt, just in case, again, we're talking about Chris Middleton, who has had injury problem after injury problem. Not really sure what you're going to get out of that. If they can find someone else to play that Grayson Allen role, yeah, I definitely think you have to like the Bucks in this trade. But until I see something like that, you know, they gave up P.J. Tucker last season. I really thought that was not a good move. I thought they should have brought him back last season. I guess what I'm saying is they're kind of losing that identity, some of that identity that kind of, you know, rough or, you know, blue collar identity to me. Yeah, again, they could score when they won the title, but they defended you. They were a gritty team, and to me, they're losing some of that when you talk about losing Grayson Allen, when you're losing Drew Holiday, when you lost P.J. Tucker last season. Dame's not going to bring any of that. And I think that, yeah, scoring-wise, they'll be better, but when it comes down to getting stops, when you're talking about winning ball games in the playoffs, will Dame's point total, will him scoring 25 or 30 points be enough to get them to overlook some of those defensive woes that could be coming? Again, there could be more moves coming down. We have signing trade deadline and all of that. I get it. So they can make another move, and I think they're probably going to have to kind of bring some of that grit back, because I thought that was the difference in them winning an NBA title, more so than, okay, this guy can put the ball in the hoop, or this dude can pull up from 35 or 40 feet. All of that's great, don't get me wrong, but you got to stop somebody, and Boston is still going to be quite formidable there offensively with what they have to do. And then you talk about getting out of the East. You know, look, man, there's going to still be a lot of really good teams in the West that you're going to have to stop as well. So anyway, we'll see how it goes down. But I wanted to just kind of touch base with y'all on that huge trade that went down today. Man, crazy. So as we get ready for NBA season, man, it's just right around the corner. We're less than a month away from tip-off, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. That was my first segment. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a lot of college football. Alabama, we're going to look back at that game. Huge win for the Crimson Tide over the Ole Miss Rebels. We'll get into that. Auburn takes a huge loss there at A&M. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk, obviously, a lot more of the huge games that we saw in the SEC. How good is this Missouri team? MIZZOU. How good are the Mizzou Tigers? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of other things, SEC, as we go about the SEC right here. You listen up to Ball About the South with Seawood. All right, y'all. We're back in. Ball About the South continues, and we're going to go right now about the SEC. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what that sound means, and we are going about the SEC right here on Ball About the South with C. Wood. And again, like I said, we had a really big weekend this past Saturday. A lot of really interesting action going down. But, yeah, you know, I'll tell you what. I mean, we really didn't have a lot of separation, though. I think that we found out a good bit about certain teams. I think some of the teams that we kind of found some things out about, in my opinion, I would say really the South Carolina Gamecocks. I found out a lot about them, at least in the last 2 weeks. And it was really, I need to kind of, you know, talk back about week three as well, because I was not here with you guys last week. Obviously, the loss there at Georgia was expected from South Carolina, but I think you really have to like what you saw out of Spencer Rattler this past weekend. Huge football game from him. Rattler went 18 for 20, 288 yards, had three touchdown passes in that win, 37-30 over Mississippi State. Huge game from his main number one guy is wide receiver Xavier Leggett. Man, Xavier Leggett, we're going to talk about him a lot more this season, I have a feeling. One of the fastest receivers, one of the best receivers, no question, in the SEC. He went for 189 through the air with five receptions, a couple touchdowns. He was basically behind the Mississippi State defense all night. And, he really showed his worth, in my opinion. I think going a little further, I think you look at really nice win from Kentucky going down to Vanderbilt. Gave up 28 points in that football game. They had two pick sixes from one of their defensive backs. But they did get the victory 45-28. Obviously a huge win for them as we go into a huge stretch of two games for the Kentucky Wildcats. When you sit there and you think about this coming weekend, they host the Florida Gators there in Lexington. And then next week, they get to go down between the hedges against the number one team in the nation, the Georgia Bulldogs. So they had to have that victory there in Nashville this past weekend, and they went out there and they got it. Huge win. Tennessee, after losing to Florida, really surprising loss to a degree that they had there in the swamp 2 weeks ago. They kind of picked themselves up a little bit. Huge win, 45-14 over UTSA. Really, UTSA, Texas San Antonio, out of the American Conference. Good football team. Unfortunately, they were missing their starting quarterback, though, who is really an underrated quarterback, in my opinion. Frank Harris did not play for UTSA, the Roadrunners. He is one of the more underrated quarterbacks that I think people probably have never heard of, but this guy really good guy, but he was not available to UTSA this past weekend, nor was he available the weekend before that for the Roadrunners. So big time miss there, but still a good win for Tennessee. We'll see what that means going forward. They get a very interesting game coming up. Again, they get the South Carolina Gamecocks in Knoxville this coming weekend. And this could be a revenge game for the Vols. I mean, they went down to South Carolina last season with Spencer Rattler leading the way. We'll see if, you know, they can kind of right the ship on that one. That was a surprising game last season, to say the least, when South Carolina did their thing. The final score in that game last season, 63-38. Obviously, that game was played in Columbia. So this one comes back to Knoxville this season. You would expect Tennessee to be, you know, you should not, you know, there should not be much that has to be said by Josh Heupel and his coaching crew. I mean, this should be a game that the players should be raring and ready for if they're wearing the orange and white. But we'll see. I mean, Joe Milton has been up and down to a degree. We've not seen a lot of him running until last week. He did have a touchdown last weekend there in the win against UTSA. His passing has been okay, but not great. It's been really an up and down season for him. And so you sit there and you look at the loss to Florida. There was really an ugly way to go down, and that has been the thing about Tennessee going to the swamp, though. They have lost eight in a row down at Florida. Man, and it seems to be one thing after another for the Gators. If it's not turnovers, if it's not injuries, if it's not, you know, something crazy happening, it's just whatever when Florida Gators get Tennessee down there in the swamp. Florida, for whatever reason, has not been able to be beaten by the Big Orange. The Gators, again, they make that trip to Kentucky this coming weekend. That is a very interesting football game. Florida comes into that game an early two and a half point dog. Actually, now I'm looking at it's dropped to 1.5. So some money coming in on Kentucky. Very interesting football game, to say the least. There in Lexington, Kentucky, maybe one of the games of the week around the SEC. Obviously, Florida comes in with that one loss to Utah, and they have handled their business ever since. That's all they can do. They did not a really, not a huge win over Charlotte this past weekend. They only won the game 22-7, but you know, that's a game kind of sandwiched in between two huge games. You had Tennessee come into the swamp 2 weeks ago, and then now you got this huge game coming up this weekend against Kentucky. So not surprising to see Florida kind of play down to the 49ers this past weekend. Obviously, we move around the league. You look at the LSU Tigers. Really didn't have a real good feel on where that game was going to be between them and Arkansas last week. I'm not surprised to see Arkansas kind of keep that game close. KJ Jefferson is still KJ Jefferson, and he proved that this past weekend. He's not going anywhere. Arkansas may not be necessarily a contender in the West, but KJ Jefferson is absolutely still, if he's not the best quarterback in the SEC, he's still right up there with Jaden Daniels. And I think, obviously, after this weekend, I guess you have to add Spencer Rattler to that list as well. He's right there with those guys, and he proved that again this past Saturday night in that close loss, 34-31. The Razorbacks go down to the LSU Tigers. LSU side of this thing, Jaden Daniels looked pretty good. Again, I think it's just kind of one of those games. It's kind of one of those games, man. For me, I'm not going to be too worried about that if I'm an LSU fan. But I get the concern. Obviously, you know, coming off the loss to Florida State, first game of the season, they look really good the next couple of weeks, and they really sat there and put the laid the wood to Mississippi State there in Stark, Vegas 2 weeks ago. I just kind of look at it as one of those games, man. Again, we'll see how that thing goes with the LSU Tigers, but a huge game for them coming up this weekend as they travel to the Grove to face the Ole Miss Rebels. Obviously, more on the Ole Miss Rebels here in just a minute. We sit there and look at some of those matchups from last week, man. Nothing really surprising, but I think it definitely gives you a little bit more of an idea of where we are. One of those teams, again, I think that we're kind of finding a little bit more about piece by piece. The Missouri Tigers, MIZZOU. How good is this football team? I'm hearing a lot of people talking about them in comparison to other teams. I saw one on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, the app formerly known as X, as Twitter, comparing them to teams like Kansas. Who's better between them, Kansas or Missouri right now? Look, Kansas is a really good football team. There's no question about it. Like their quarterback, I would give maybe the quarterback edge slightly in that. But I tell you what, this Missouri team, and you sit there and you look at them, Brady Cook is doing his thing. You look at his stats from the other night and their win against the Memphis Tigers there in St. Louis, 18 for 25, 341 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's doing what he's got to do. And I tell you what, Missouri's doing it from you know, both ends. You had really good running game there, 123 yards from their running back, Cody Schrader. And this guy, Burden, man, Luther Burden is being a burden on opposing defenses. This dude, we talked about Leggett, the wide receiver with South Carolina just a couple minutes ago. This dude was, he was right there with him. 10 receptions, 177 yards. Did not have a touchdown in the game against Memphis, but really big time game. But the only problem with that, with Luther Burden, is he sustained an injury in that game, the 34-27 win over Memphis. And he is questionable for that their huge football game coming up this weekend as they play the Vanderbilt Commodores. Really a big-time game for Missouri. These are the games for Missouri right now as they sit 4-0 as we talk about whether or not this is a, if they can be a contender in the East, whether or not they can be a contender in the SEC as a whole. These are the games that sometimes get away from teams like that. You can sit there and fall into that trap and say, oh, man, okay, you look really looking good. Nice win over Memphis. We just had the big home win over Kansas State. Then you come up and you look up, start feeling good about yourself, and then you look up and there comes a team like Vanderbilt. I mean, it's crazy how the thing works out sometimes, but we'll see how it goes. But, again, Luther Burden is really showing to be one of the top playmakers in this league. No question about that. He and a guy like Xavier Leggett there with the South Carolina Gamecocks. We'll see how it goes, man. Can any one of those teams that I just named, Missouri, Kentucky, Florida, can any of those teams challenge the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC East? That is the question right now. That is the question right now. We'll see how it goes. As we kind of shift things through the West, and we talk about this Alabama game this past weekend. Huge win for Alabama, 24-10, first of all. You have to get that out. You sit there, you look at what transpired in that football game. I saw... You know, Nick Saban always talked about the process, right? Since day one, that's what he talked about. He talked about the process and, you know, and building a championship program, not just a team for a year or two or something like that, but a championship program that he's just exactly like he's built in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I see that being this whole season being a process for this Alabama football team, and I saw them progress a little bit more in this process this past weekend against Ole Miss. Was it pretty? Was it really a pretty game for them? No, it wasn't. I mean, the first half had some ups and downs there, had miscues like we've seen along the offensive line. Still have not gotten to, you know, Seth McLaughlin, the center, is still, for whatever reason, whatever strange reason, is not comfortable snapping the football right now. I don't know. I've never seen anything like that to this degree. But he's still having his issues there. You're still having a couple of issues along the offensive line, at least in the first half you did. Had a couple of penalties. For the game, you only had 6 penalties, which is pretty good. I think you'll take that. I think Nick Saban will take that in most football games. You sit there, you look at some of the drives, though, that Alabama had, but they had, you know, they had plays where they shot themselves in the foot. You had the interception in the end zone on a drive where Alabama should have at least scored a field goal by Milroe. You had that in the first half. But in the second half, man, I think it looked a lot like everyone envisioned this thing to look from day one with Tommy Rees. And I tell you, if you were, you know, being an Alabama fan like I am, seeing people talk on Twitter and social media or whatever, and this dude should have been fired 2 weeks ago, which is obviously ridiculous seeing he just coached his fourth game. just really ridiculous. But I saw a lot of progress in his play calling. I think a lot of the things that people were upset about is that he did not mold the game plan around the strengths of Jalen Milroe. And I think you saw more of that this past weekend against Ole Miss. I don't think there's any question about that. I think you saw a lot of the other things that were promised when Tommy Rees was hired. A lot of 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends. We saw a lot more of that this past weekend. Robbie Oots, number 45, in with Dupree, the other tight end. We saw a lot of that this past weekend. You saw a lot of Amari Nyblack along with those two guys as well. All three of those guys ended up, I don't think Dupree had a catch in the game this past weekend, but he had a couple nice blocks. Oots had a catch. Nyblack had a catch there at the tight end position. You had a lot of different guys contribute on the offensive end. You had the big play to Hale, who really looks good. Hale may be, he may turn out to be the best receiver of this group when all is said and done. Isaiah Bond made an appearance. You had a lot of guys making receptions. Jalen Milroe spreading the ball around. And then, of course, then the running game. And you saw you had play action going on. You had the big touchdown pass to Hale where Milroe got hit, got the air knocked out of him. He was on the ground for a couple minutes. Then he got up and realized they had scored. Huge, huge game. And then, you know, then on the ensuing kickoff after that, you had Jamarion Miller, who was actually a running back, a highly heralded running back at that, coming out of high school, who right now is kind of lost on the depth chart at running back, but he's playing special teams. He makes the big hit. He did get called for targeting on the play, but man, was it a huge hit, and that really sparked a fire under this football team. And you felt it even watching it on TV like I was. I know you had to have felt it in the stadium, and I know unquestionably this team felt it as well. That is the type of football that we're accustomed to watching here in the last several years. That is the kind of football that Alabama fans want to get back to with this football team. And we saw some of that this past Saturday against the Ole Miss Rebels. Do I think Ole Miss kind of helped Alabama along the way a little bit? Yes, I do, because I tell you what, the game plan, in my opinion, at least, well, I'm not going to say the game plan. I thought the game plan was rock solid, because I think this Alabama defense is really good. I think this Alabama defense is really good when they want to lock down. I don't know what happened in the second half, and especially the fourth quarter against Texas. Don't get me wrong. Texas is a really good football team, really good offensive weapons. But the way they easily went down, up and down the field in that fourth quarter was not what I think this defense is about. And I think you saw more about what this defense is about this past Saturday. Ole Miss could do nothing, man. They could do nothing when it counted. They got, obviously, Jackson Dart had his moments. He had the touchdown run there in the first half. He had a couple passes there in the second half. But for the most part, that secondary locked everything down. Alabama was able to get pass rush on him. You had Braswell getting in on him. You had Dallas Turner made big-time plays. He was in the backfield repeatedly. Alabama came up with they were able to sack Jackson Dart several times. They were able to rush his throws. He was rattled there at times in the second half. Even when Alabama's rush did not get to him, you saw that he was a step too fast in the way he wanted to throw the ball. He was off. I mean, look, he was off kilter there in that entire second half, really, is mainly the fourth quarter as well. Alabama did their job defensively, and then you can't say enough about Kool-Aid McKinstry on the outside. Secondary was fantastic, and Terrion Arnold had the interception there in the third quarter. The Alabama defense looked really good. It looked exactly the way a lot of people expected them to look this season. That fourth quarter against Texas, man, if Alabama does not make it to the college football playoff, especially if they like go and win the rest of their games or something like that, or they lose one more game or something, they're going to look back at that fourth quarter against Texas and really start kicking themselves. That's what I feel like is going to happen, because I think this defense is going to make their presence felt from now on. But really good performance all around. And Jalen Milroe, what can I say about this guy? Everybody trying to really get down. Not everybody, but a lot of people down on this guy big time just a couple of weeks ago. Again, there are still some people that are really skeptical, and I'm not sitting here telling you that this dude is all of a sudden a Heisman candidate or anything like that. He has a long way to go, but I saw progression. I've seen progression in every time he's played already this season, and that's what you want. You're not going to have every season where Bryce Young is your starting quarterback from day one, okay? And Bryce Young, you know, of seasoned Bryce Young like he was last season going into his third year, or a seasoned Tua Tagovailoa, or a seasoned Mac Jones, or a seasoned Jalen Hurts. You're not going to have that every year. At some point, guess what? You're going to have a quarterback that you're going to have to kind of, he's going to have to mold into the, you know, he's going to have to mold into the quarterback that you want him to be. And which, again, goes right back to the statement that Nick Saban made about the cake, making the reference that the quarterback position was going to be like baking a cake. And he referenced it again last week, saying that maybe the cake is finally about to be done. And that's what this is all about. But again, we've had Alabama fans. Again, I can't sit here and say that I'm not one of them. I've been spoiled too. Alabama fans are spoiled rotten because of the success that they've had over the last 10, 12, 13, 14 years. There's no question about that. So it is what it is. But really huge win, 24-10. They're in Tuscaloosa over the Ole Miss Rebels. Really quick, on the other side of the state, the Auburn Tigers go down 27-10. Really huge loss there against Texas A&M. And the everything that's missing offensively is really starting to come out about this football team. They really don't have the guys on the outside at the wide receiver position. Peyton Thorne, I think, is doing about as best he could as he can. A&M was repeatedly in the backfield against them, though. You saw a little bit of Robbie Ashford there as well. Neither of them had a lot of success. A lot of sacks there. Thorne went down 6 times, if I'm not mistaken, in that football game. Texas A&M is still strong defensively. But again, you look at A&M, they go down to Miami and they give up 48 points. You know, it's just one of those things that's really crazy about this season so far. But that's kind of where we are. So, huge loss for Auburn there. And it doesn't get any easier at all for them if they host the number one team in the nation this coming weekend. Things could get ugly there in Auburn really quick here. But again, that is not too unexpected if you are really looking at things the way you're really supposed to look at them. Yeah. So anyway, man, that's my about the SEC right now. We're going to take another quick time out. We're going to get into the NFL. Talk a lot. Tennessee Titans, again, Mike Vrabel. Is it time for him? Should he be on the hot seat in Tennessee? We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that woeful performance there in Cleveland by the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk a lot of other huge games going on there in the NFL. Obviously, 70 points from the Dolphins. Yes, it was. We'll talk about that and a lot more. We'll do all of that on the other side. You listen to Ball About the South with C. Wood. All right, y'all, we're back in. Ball About the South continues. Before I get into my NFL talk, I wanted to go back and talk about that A&M Auburn game just really quick again. Connor Wegman, the quarterback for the A&M Aggies, went down with an injury in that game. He has been ruled out for the rest of the season. That is the word that I am hearing here in the last couple of days. Obviously, a big blow for A&M. Now, they do have a capable backup at quarterback, and that would be Max Johnson. If you're unfamiliar with him, he is the son of Brad Johnson, who quarterbacked in the NFL with the Vikings for a long time. And also, Max Johnson is the same Max Johnson that transferred in to A&M from LSU a couple seasons ago, or at least last season. So I think even though Wegman is out for the season, there should not be a huge drop-off offensively for the Aggies with Johnson leading the way. He had came in and had a pretty good game there against the against Auburn this past Saturday. He had a couple touchdown passes. Wegman won the job. So, obviously, it is a bit of a blow. Obviously, Jimbo Fisher and his staff felt like Wegman was the better player. And, obviously, Wegman did end off the season last year really well and all of that. So, he came in and won the job. But the drop-off should not be too bad for this Aggies football team. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's not a drop-off at all. We'll see. The Aggies get Arkansas this weekend in Dallas. That should be an interesting game. It always is. No telling who's going to win that game. I think A&M right now is the slight favorite, but anything goes in that football game. And, of course, Auburn, they get ready to host Georgia. And this is like Hugh Freeze said, the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. He's like, look, we're going to find out a lot about our football team here in the coming weeks. And this is exactly what he was talking about. They just played A&M there at Kyle Field last Saturday. They get the Georgia Bulldogs this week. They have LSU coming up on the horizon really soon. That game is in Baton Rouge. Yeah, it's getting real, really quick for this Auburn football team. Just like Hugh Freeze said, they're going to learn a lot about that football team here in the coming weeks. Anyway, man, so I wanted to mention that because I did not mention that in the last segment. And let's get into the NFL. I'm going to start off with the Tennessee Titans again, kind of like I usually do. If you're unaware, that is kind of my favorite team in the NFL. No kind of in it. They are. Obviously, they're going through their issues right now, to say the absolute least. They lose this weekend. This past weekend to the Cleveland Browns, 27-3. They're in Cleveland. Totally dominating performance there by the Browns. It's just one of those things. This offense is just really stuck in neutral again. They had a pretty good game, pretty good Sunday against the Chargers in week two. Put up 27 points, won the football game 27-24 and all of that. But you see how the Chargers have done around that game. They gave up a lot of points, obviously, to the Dolphins. Because I think a lot of teams are going to give up a lot of points to the Dolphins. We'll talk about them briefly here coming up in a couple minutes. So it's not really that big a surprise as far as that goes. But defense by the Chargers is really been easy to score on. The Vikings did pretty well on them. Even though they lost the game the other day, they went up and down the field on them as well. So, really not that big a surprise that the Titans were able to have their best offensive showing of the season. But that gets me back to, you know, basically what I want to talk about here really brief, man. With that loss, Titans go 1-2, and you know, you sit there and you look at Ryan Tannehill, another poor performance from him. A lot of sacks, a lot of dropbacks, and him basically, I don't know, I'm not going to say he's a statue, because I think he did show against the Chargers he still can move in the pocket a little bit. Obviously, he's not anywhere near where he used to be, but it makes you really think. Obviously, one, does there need to be a change at the quarterback position right now? Would it make a difference if you had Malik Willis as your quarterback with this offensive line, where the way they have kind of allowed teams to you know, like Myles Garrett, who had his way, the front line of the Cleveland Browns, who had their way with the Tennessee Titans offensive line this past Sunday. Is it time for Malik Willis to get the nod? And also, I think even a bigger question right now, should Mike Vrabel be on the hot seat? I think those are two valid questions right now. At least one question, Malik Willis obviously is still still raw to a degree, but I think if you looked at the NFL preseason the way I looked at it, the Titans preseason game, you saw improvement. You saw progress from where Malik Willis was last season. Okay, so I'm not saying he's sitting there ready to come in and dominate or anything like that, but I tell you what, man, you sit there and you look around the rest of the AFC South, and you see young quarterback after young quarterback, Trevor Lawrence there in Jacksonville with Duval, even though they lost just a really crazy loss that they took 37-17 to the Houston Texans on Sunday. But you still have Trevor Lawrence, who is obviously one of the better young quarterbacks in the league. You look at the Indianapolis Colts, and Anthony Richardson was unavailable to them this past weekend. But in his first two games, I think he's shown that he very well could live up to that high draft pick status that he had. Already had a couple touchdowns rushing. He's thrown the ball pretty well, all of that. And then you sit there and you look at Houston, and C.J. Stroud has just been going about his business. I mean, C.J. Stroud looks like the best quarterback in the draft right now. And, or you know, man, it's just, you know, you sit there and you look at that as a Titans fan. You sit there, look at, man, those young quarterbacks. They have their quarterbacks for the future. Then you look at Ryan Tannehill. And, man, look, I'm not trying to come down totally on Ryan Tannehill, because it's not all his fault, but it is a little bit his fault. It's a good bit his fault, rather. And I just wonder, man, is it time to just say, look, man, let's go on and get this Malik Willis era going. Will Levis, I mean, obviously, I guess you would say could be in the mix as well. Obviously, he had his injury, so not really sure where that stands. I'm just really at a point right now, man. I think that that question needs to be asked. And then, of course, on Mike Vrabel. In a lot of ways, I don't think Mike Vrabel should be on the hot seat. However, I think when you sit there and you look at it from, you know, because, look, he still has, overall, he has a pretty good record since he's been the head coach in Nashville. But you sit there and you look at this team right now, you don't see anything getting better about this team. You see an ancient-looking offense. Again, he's not necessarily the offensive guy. He has an offensive coordinator for all of that, but he is the head coach. Defensively, I think we're okay. I mean, you know, not great, but I think defensively we're going to be okay. But the offense is aging and is continuing to age, and there's no signs of it getting better at all. I mean, at some point, man, you're going to have to sit there and make a decision on the quarterback. You're going to have to make a decision on where the direction of this offense is going. You don't have the speed that a lot of teams have, and that is directly affecting how Ryan Tannehill or any other quarterback can sit there and operate the offense. So it's really, I don't know, man. For me, I'm more of a guy that really would like to see a change, to be honest with you, but I really don't want to sit here and actually jump the gun, if that makes any sense. I don't know, man. We'll see how it goes, man. Hit me up on Twitter or X or whatever. Let me know what you think. Should the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel, be on the hot seat? That seat is getting warm, whether he wants it to or not, or whether we want it, or whether we want to think it should be or not. Anyway, so we'll see how it goes. Anyway, 27-3 loss to the Cleveland Browns this past Sunday, an ugly, ugly game. Cleveland sat there and ended up taking out Deshaun Watson there in the fourth quarter. Totally embarrassing, man. totally embarrassing. Anyway, other games there in the AFC South. Mentioned really quick. What's going on in Duval? Now, I'm going to say this for me. I picked Jacksonville to win this division before the season started. I thought that it would be definitely a battle between the Jaguars and the Titans. But that doesn't really mean that I thought that the Jaguars were going to be this team that was really going to run away with the division or anything like that. I didn't think they would be like a 12 or 13 win team or anything like that. I saw some people kind of predicting that. I figured they would be more like a 10 or an 11 win team at best, and probably win the division by a game or something over the Titans. That was my prediction before the season. So I'm not really shocked to see them kind of struggling a little bit at 1-2. I'm shocked over that they lost the game the way they did, 37-17 to the Houston Texans. And now look, shout out to the Texans. Shout out to them. Shout out to a team like them who is putting it on the line every Sunday. They know they are not as talented as the team, most of the teams that they're playing, and they put it on the line every Sunday. That's exactly what you saw, in my opinion, this, you know, there in that football game. I think you saw the exact same thing in the Arizona Cardinals game when they beat Dallas last Sunday. I mean, Josh Dobbs. Who would have thought that Josh Dobbs, the former Tennessee Volunteer, going up and down the field against that Dallas Cowboys defense. Crazy, crazy stuff. But back to Duval. Obviously, I mean, there are problems all the way around on this football team. I mean, obviously, giving up 37 points. Now, look, I just kind of praised C.J. Stroud here a couple minutes ago. But let's be real about it. I mean, we thought this Jacksonville defense would be pretty stout, and they were anything but. This past Sunday, now there's some turnovers and some kind of crazy things going on as well, but fact of the matter is, you still gave up a lot of points to the team that's supposed to be the bottom of the team on the bottom in the AFC South. And you also are having offensive problems. Only 17 points. You only scored 9 in the game against Kansas City. It took you really 3 quarters to really kind of get things going in the one game that you did win against the Indianapolis Colts in game 1. So a lot to look for, man, in Duval. We're going to have to watch that very closely to see what's going on with this team. Can Doug Peterson figure this thing out before it gets too late there in Jacksonville? Speaking of the Indianapolis Colts, what a game they played this past weekend, winning that football game. They're in Baltimore 22-19 in overtime. Gardner Minshew came in, not great numbers or anything like that, but he did what he had to do for the most part in relief of Anthony Richardson, who I mentioned that was not in the lineup this past Sunday. He was out due to a concussion. Did not matter. The Colts came away with a huge win. They go to 2-1. They go to 2-1. The rest of the division is looking up to them at 1-2. So very interesting developments here. I'm not surprised as far as Indianapolis with their defense. I'm not surprised at that at all. I really thought that they were going to have a pretty good defense coming in. I think their defense has been, in my opinion, a bit underrated the last couple of seasons. But they're looking pretty good right now. I think they're looking pretty good. And obviously, like I said, I think Anthony Richardson has shown that he can be maybe a little bit better than we thought that he would be in his rookie season. We'll see about that. Now, again, it's very early, so we'll see how it goes. But, you know, right now in this division, I mean, who's really looking like they're going to try to run away with this thing? No one. And actually, I guess Indianapolis is the one that's looking more like the team that's trying to run away with the division than anyone else. So, I would not put anything past this Indianapolis Colts team at this point. I do think they could use couple more weapons there offensively. Obviously, this Jonathan Taylor thing is still a huge issue. I think that they are trying to find a really good combination there at the wide receiver position. Although Michael Pittman Jr., I think, has played pretty well so far this season. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Looking at the NFC South really quick. We had the Atlanta Falcons and the Detroit Lions were really hot. They go down, the Falcons go down and defeat 20-6 in that game. The Lions looking really good as they get ready to play Green Bay tonight in NFL on the Thursday Night Football there on Amazon Prime. Look at that Monday night game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go down hard 25-11 to the Philadelphia Eagles. No surprise there. Again, they go to 2-1, so still, I think, a lot better position than most people thought that they would be in at this point. We'll see if they're able to sustain that. That is going to be the question there in Tampa Bay. Carolina Panthers go down without Bryce Young, 37-27 there in Seattle last week, last Sunday. Bryce Young looking like, from what I'm hearing, he'll be back this coming Sunday. I think a lot of questions are going to be asked because Andy Dalton actually went up there and had a pretty good game, threw the ball very well. We've been talking about the slow start their offense has been off to. We've talked about a lot about their offensive line. Obviously, we talked a lot about their lack of weapons at the wide receiver position. Andy Dalton did pretty good with them this past Sunday at Seattle. But, of course, now, one caveat to that, the Seahawks have been giving up a lot of yards and a lot of points themselves so far this season. So, kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. We'll see how that goes. But a good showing for Dalton despite the loss. Let's hope Bryce Young kind of gets things going. I think if Bryce Young were in the lineup last Sunday, I think he would have had similar success. I just really do. I think the Seattle defense is really kind of shaky right now. Just my opinion. And then the other game. They're in the NFC South. The New Orleans Saints up 17-0. 17-0 going into the fourth quarter. They end up losing the game 18-17. They give up 18 fourth quarter points. I mean, that is a big ouch, to say the least. I just really could not believe that Green Bay was able to come back as easily as they were there in the fourth quarter, unstoppable when the New Orleans Saints defense looked like maybe they could be maybe right up there with the best in the NFL. They did not look that way in the fourth quarter of that football game. Of course, there were other things that went on in that game. It wasn't just the defense, but you get the picture. When it comes down to it, you got to try to find a way to stop the other team, and unfortunately, the Saints were not able to do it. Also in that game, they lose Derek Carr possibly this weekend. We'll see. I think it's going to be a day-to-day situation, maybe even a game-time situation for him coming up in their next game. We'll see how it goes. Should be interesting. Obviously, Jameis Winston will be there ready to take the reins as the quarterback there if he is unable to go. So anyway, and then, of course, the other team down here in the South, man, Miami Dolphins, they're not. All they did was put up 70 points on Denver. I had never known another game where a team had scored 70 points in an NFL game, but word is that they missed the record by 3 points. I think the record is 72 or 73 points. They just needed a field goal to either tie that record or break it, and they didn't get it. But man, this is crazy. I was sitting there watching that game when I could, because I had my eyes on other games. Obviously, that game just continued to get further out of hand. I didn't watch it as much, but then I kept looking up. It's like, damn, they keep scoring. What's up? It's 35. Then it was 42 and 49 and 56. And I was like, wait. I could not believe it. And they did all of that without Jaylen Waddle. Tua Tagovailoa is shutting a lot of people up this season, buddy. He is shutting a lot of people up, and I love to see it. I absolutely love to see it 100%. I really do. I think this Dolphins team is very, very dangerous, very, very capable of winning the AFC East for sure. I picked them to win the AFC East and maybe even go a long way in the playoffs. We'll see how it works out. They get the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are on a rampage the last 2 weeks after losing that opening game. They are on a rampage. They tore down the Raiders, and then they just ran all over the Washington Commanders this past weekend. Look out for them as well. Should be an interesting race there in the AFC East. Anyway, man, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I'll give you some picks. Just some, a little bit more commentary on what we're seeing here so far in college and the NFL through week three of the NFL and week four in college football. We'll do all of that, man, when Ball About the South continues. All right, y'all, we're back in. Ball About the South continues, and we're going to get into the NFL right now. We'll stay in the NFL, actually. We're going to do some picks. We're going to do some NFL picks, and then we'll do some college picks as well before we get out of here. This is the last segment. We'll start off with this Falcons-Jaguars game coming up in London. Should be an interesting football game there in London. Jaguars come off that very, very surprising loss to the Texans at home. Falcons coming off the loss on the road to the Lions. Jags come in 3-point favorite in this football game. I probably will stay away from this one, man. I don't know. Then again, no, I take that back. I'm gonna go with the Jags. I think they'll cover this, but it will not surprise me at all if the Falcons come in under the number. But I do like the Jags to win this game. Something tells me the Jags kind of I'm not gonna say they necessarily get their mojo back, but I think they'll play a little bit harder in this football game. I think it was a little bit of humiliation losing to the Texans last week, especially at home like they did. I think they'll come out with a strong effort and beat the Falcons this coming weekend. Pittsburgh going to Houston. Should be an interesting football game there as well. Steelers coming off their victory at the Raiders on Sunday Night Football. The Texans obviously coming off that huge win over the Jaguars. Can they continue that momentum? I think it's going to be another tight game. I really do. I think this Texans team is going to fight every single week. But I like the Steelers to win this football game, and I think they'll probably find a way to cover that 3 points. Again, I think that's another game I will stay far away from. That I'd rather see that be more like a 2.5 point spread for the Steelers or something like that. And then I think, okay, I can see them winning by a field goal. I would not mess with that game, but I do think the Steelers come out on top in a tight one there in Houston. Let's move to this Indianapolis game. They host the Rams. And I like what I've seen out of the Rams. I know they're 1-2, but there's no shame in losing to the 49ers, who I think could be quite possibly the best team in the NFL right now. I don't think there's any shame in losing a tight game at Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. So, I like what they've, they traded away Cam Akers. Now they're going with Kyren Williams as the running back there. Matthew Stafford's looked pretty good. Defensively, they've looked good with Aaron Donald. Stafford obviously had some problems last week, Monday night. But they did have their left tackle out of that game. He did not play on Monday night, so the Bengals were in the backfield repeatedly in that game. Not sure the status of the Rams left tackle right now. If he's able to play, I think that obviously gives them a much better shot from the things I've seen from them so far this season. But they come in 1-point favorite, which is pretty interesting. Colts obviously atop the AFC South right now at 2-1. Should be a very interesting game. I'm going to take the Colts, though. They did lose their first game at home against the Jaguars. I do think that will have at least some kind of value in this game, knowing that they've already lost a home game. I think the Colts, I think it's a very evenly matched football game. I don't think there's any question about that. We'll see if Anthony Richardson is able to go. Give me the Colts, man. I think it's going to be another tight game, but I like the Colts to win that football game Sunday afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium. Carolina Panthers, they host the Minnesota Vikings coming up this coming weekend. They come in a 4.5 point dog at home. So they're getting 4.5 points. Bryce Young is said to be on the road to being back this coming Sunday. We'll see how that goes. The Vikings are giving up some points here lately. There's no question about that. They scored a few points as well. We'll see how that game goes. 4.5 points. I would absolutely, at least as far as the spread, give me the Panthers to come in under that 4.5. I think it's going to be a tight game there in Charlotte. I think it's anybody's game, though. I probably would lean toward the Vikings winning the game, but it would not surprise me at all. I do expect the Panthers to come in under that 4.5 and cover that number. 3.5 point favorite are the New Orleans Saints as they host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2-2-1 teams there in the NFC South. Yeah, another game where it's not really sure what to expect. Which team's going to show up? Defensively, it's been really good for the most part, except for one quarter for the New Orleans Saints. So, you know, that defense that has been going for the first, seven quarters, do they show up? Or, I'm sorry, for the first nine quarters, rather, do they show up, or is that defense that showed up in the fourth quarter there in Green Bay show up for this football game? I think that is the question. For Tampa Bay, it's kind of same type of thing. Baker Mayfield, done pretty well, I guess, overall this season with, you know, a lot of help from Mike Evans and those guys. Defensively, they have been, I think, maybe a little bit better than we thought they might be. Being 2-1 at this point, I thought they played pretty well against the Eagles Monday night. I don't think it was a thing where the Eagles just went up and down the field against them. Very interesting game. 3.5 point favorite the Saints are. I think they win the game. But again, I think it's going to be really tight. Would not surprise me at all the outcome. If Tampa Bay wins that football game, I won't be shocked at all. I just won't, because I think right now there are a lot of questions about both of these football teams, and those questions are abundant. Looking at the rest of here, the teams here in the AFC South and NFC South, the remaining game. Cincinnati Bengals go to Nashville to visit the Tennessee Titans. And I tell you, man, it's like when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it pours, because you sit there and you come off a humiliating loss like you had this past Sunday against Cleveland. And then you look up, you get the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals are a team I still think could get to the Super Bowl this season. And the Bengals seemingly always get off to a slow start. They seemingly always lose their first couple games. It's not that big a deal. it just doesn't seem to be anyway. So I think they're going to get their mojo back offensively here. I think you saw Ja'Marr Chase have a really good game this past Monday night. Rams had a tough time with him, despite the fact that the Bengals only put up 19 points. And again, I think that is a testament. That is definitely due to what the Rams can do to you defensively. I don't think it's any question. So I think the Bengals are going to get this thing back. And the thing is, they're not going to need a whole lot to beat the Tennessee Titans anyway. I mean, we saw a lot from this football team defensively. They shut down the Rams in that football game. And now you sit there and you have an offense like the Titans coming up. I think the Bengals are licking their chops. They come in 2.5 point favorites in this football game. I still do think it would be a tight game. I think it would be a fourth quarter game, maybe down to the wire. But give me the Bengals on a late field goal, late touchdown to win that football game. Low scoring game, probably a lot similar to the playoff game here a couple years ago where the Bengals stole the hearts of the Titans fans. I think the Bengals win that football game and they cover that 2.5 point spread. Probably the big game of the day coming up this Sunday. That game's in Baltimore. I'm sorry, Baltimore. That game is in Buffalo. The Miami Dolphins coming off scoring 70 points against the Denver Broncos, traveling to Buffalo. Huge game there in the AFC East. Huge game. I think this game is bigger for the Bills, though, obviously because they're at home, number one. But obviously, I think because you don't want the Dolphins to beat you at home first, but you don't want the Dolphins to kind of get a leg up on you in the standings. If the Dolphins lose this game, it's a big deal because it's a division game. But you feel like, okay, you know what, we can get them back when we get to Miami. So this game, in my opinion, is a lot bigger for the Buffalo Bills. I think they come out. I think they win the game. They're 2.5 point favorites. Man, this is another game I would stay away from. But I do think the Bills kind of maybe get a late field goal, late touchdown. I think that is going to be a hell of a game. Probably a lot of points scored in that game, up and down the field. Give me the Buffalo Bills there, minus the 2.5 points. Let's look at a few of these college games. And first of all, I do want to kind of go back and talk about this Colorado thing just a little bit. Look, man, I don't think this huge 42-6 loss to Oregon last weekend. I think you got a lot of people that are taking a lot of enjoyment in that score, in that outcome. Look, man. To me, if you know football, if you really kind of know the game, and you would know that Colorado was more than likely not going to win that football game, and you also knew that there was a chance they could get blown out. I mean, it's just that simple. I'm not really understanding why people are taking such enjoyment in when it's like, okay, well, like this is the beginning of the end for Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, or whatever. Look, they were not supposed to win that game in the first place. It is what it is. This program is still on the right trajectory to get to where Deion wants them to get. Now, again, look, I've had my questions about Deion, basically X's and O's, things of that nature, but you can't come down in anything else. You can't come down as recruiting. I mean, he's going to recruit. He's going to get the ball players. And he's going to get better as a coach, I think, as he grows. So, all y'all sitting there laughing and talking about, oh, man, Colorado. Oh, what happened to the Buffaloes? Whatever this and whatever that. I don't think anyone that really knows football expected them to win that football game this past Saturday. So, I just don't really think it's a big deal that they lost. Now, is it a little bit humiliating to lose 42-6? Absolutely. I don't think anybody's saying that. But it is what it is. So, we'll see how this thing goes. They get USC this weekend. Obviously, a very interesting game. Would not shock me at all if they win that football game, man. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to win it. But it would not shock me at all. That game is in Boulder. And USC is still a defense that has holes. We've seen that. But I think it's very apparent that this team is missing Travis Hunter on both sides of the football. So, yeah. I would not sit here and come down too hard on Deion, Coach Prime Sanders. Anyway, man, let's get to a couple of my picks here, man. We're going to close this show out. I wanted to throw that in there first. Looking, a couple of the games here in the SEC. Missouri at Vanderbilt. And I talked about Missouri there a little bit earlier. again, this is a big game for Missouri, man. It's Vanderbilt. Obviously, it's a big game because obviously you got to win all the games that you can. But this type game will tell me more about where this program is, or it'll tell me as much about where this program is if they were playing Florida or if they were playing Georgia or somebody. I think how they handle this game, because you sit there and look at Missouri's schedule coming up. It gets pretty tough. You get LSU next week. Then you're at Kentucky. Then you get South Carolina. Then you're at Georgia. Then it's Tennessee. Then it's Florida. You're talking about a... Then it's at Arkansas at the end of the season. You're talking about a tough 7-week stretch at the end of the season. And this thing could go south really quick. So, obviously, this is... I mean, you have to have this game against Vanderbilt. There's no question about that. But this kind of tell me how they play this game, not just how they win it, how they play this game, just where this team is mentally and all of that, whether or not they can come out and be successful in that 7-game stretch that I just talked about. We'll see what happens. Another big game in the SEC coming up this weekend, man. We look at Texas A&M, Arkansas. Aggies come in 6-point favorite. I like the Aggies in this football game, but would not surprise me if Arkansas comes in under that number. Georgia and Auburn, obviously. look, man, like I said, Georgia has had its issues offensively. I mean, Brock Bowers has been Brock Bowers, but other than that, Georgia's—they've had their issues. Let's be real about that. So it would not surprise me if Auburn comes in under that 14.5 number that I'm seeing right now. Would not surprise me if this game is a tight one-score game or two-score game at the most, late in the third quarter, maybe into the fourth quarter. Would not shock me at all. But I think eventually Georgia wins that football game. Tennessee hosting South Carolina. 63-28 was the score last season. South Carolina and Spencer Rattler beat up on the Tennessee Vols. Totally shocking game last season. Vols come in 12-point favorite this game. The revenge factor for me, I think, should be huge. Should be a huge factor for the Volunteers. But, man, Spencer Rattler is the better quarterback in this football game. So I expect Tennessee to win. I think they'll cover that 12 points. I think, but I would not play that number if I were you. would not shock me at all if South Carolina comes in under that number. But I do expect Tennessee to win this football game Saturday there in Knoxville. Saturday evening, that is. Alabama traveling to Mississippi State. Again, what we saw last Saturday was not perfect, but it looked a lot more like what you want this thing to look like. And I tell you what, maybe the more impressive thing that I saw last Saturday was how Alabama controlled the line of scrimmage in the second half, how they seemingly wore out Ole Miss's defense. That's what you want to see. That's what Alabama used to do to teams in the past. And then, of course, the defense sat there and did the rest. They did not allow Ole Miss to come in and score a point there in the fourth quarter when they absolutely had to do it. Going forward, that is going to have to be the formula, I think, for this football team. That has to be the formula. We'll see how they, how they do coming off of that huge win, 2014 last week. I like the Crimson Tide in this game. They come in, though, 15.5-point favorites right now. I'm not sure about that number, man, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I think Alabama may get to 30. We'll see. Probably mid-high 20s, maybe 30 in this football game. I don't know if I'd play that, but, hey, we've seen stranger things happen. But I do think Alabama comes out on top, which obviously is the most important thing. And then for me, the game of the day in the SEC, LSU traveling to the Grove. going to Ole Miss, man. Ole Miss coming off the loss. LSU coming off the win. Tight win there, 34-31 against Arkansas. Tigers come in 2.5-point favorite. That is a 5 o'clock game there on ESPN, I believe. Give me the Tigers. I think it's going to be a tight game, but I think the Tigers find a way to win that game. Probably 7-10 points over the Ole Miss Rebels. So there you go. We talked about Kentucky earlier and their matchup against Florida there in Lexington. That obviously is a huge, huge football game. So those are the two football games that I think are at the top of the list in the SEC this weekend. I think, again, like I said earlier, I think Florida wins that football game, wins a tight one there in the Bluegrass State. But think about this, man. Think about while we're talking about the color blue. Look at the blue bloods of college basketball. Look at what they're doing in football. You got Kentucky 4-0. You have Kansas 4-0. If they get ready to go against Texas, which would be a very interesting football game. You have North Carolina 4-0. And they share the state with the Duke Blue Devils. Well, the triangle there in North Carolina. The Duke Blue Devils are 4-0 as well. If they get ready to host Notre Dame. Really crazy stuff when you sit there and think about it, man. And, you know, you have to give a lot of props to those four teams right now. Can they keep it up? We shall see. More than likely, we may see one or two of those teams go down for the first time this weekend. But still, what an accomplishment for all four of those teams to be undefeated. That Duke game should be, it really could be the game of the day around the nation. You sit there, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish with 5.5-point favorites coming off of that loss to Ohio State there in South Bend last weekend. I like Duke to win that football game, man. I'm a believer in the Duke Blue Devils from what I saw them do to Clemson and from what I've seen since. They have not flinched at all. I like Duke, man. I like Duke at least to cover those 5.5. If they don't win the game, I think you're talking about a game that goes right down to the wire there. I don't know what you call the stadium there. Wallace Wade Stadium. So I can't remember what it is. Whatever it is, don't be surprised if the Duke Blue Devils go 5-0. But I think they will do at least cover that 5.5-point spread tomorrow. Saturday evening against the Fighting Irish. Anyway, man, we're going to close out the show right there. Definitely glad you took a little bit of time out of your busy schedule to join me. Please do the exact same thing next week, man. We'll be right back here with another episode of Ball About the South. Take care of yourself, man. Peace. I'm out.